This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. During our previous sessions together, we have discovered that the Epistle of Yaakov was written by the half-brother of our Lord. Yaakov, or Jacob, but most of our translations call him James. He was the overseer of the congregation in Yerushalayim. We also identified him as the one who probably oversaw the congregations of believers throughout the land. He had identified himself not as the half-brother of Yeshua, but as a full believer in Messiah. We also identified who the letter was written to. It was written to the believers in Messiah who had fled Yerushalayim during the persecution of the congregation there. Thus, the theme of the diaspora governs the entire letter. But all of Jehovah's people share together the experience of exile. We are no longer citizens of this world, but now have our citizenship in Him. Because of this, we live in a world where trials and temptations are characteristic of the life of faith. Only through the profound wisdom and leading of our Lord could they and we endure. Indeed, in this way, the letter presumes an interpretive standpoint for all of Scripture for believers of whatever origin. For they had, and we have now, been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel through Yeshua, our Messiah. We had identified that this epistle could be divided into 12 sections. Remember, I have several free downloadable documents on my website, www.sectim.org, that will be helpful as we continue our study in Yaakov. Please do sign in, though, as it gives me an idea of how many are listening to our program. As we move into the body of this letter and into the section that we've titled Trials and Tribulations, the next set of verses that I want us to look at are again found in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. As I've previously mentioned, these three verses are under the general section that we've titled Trials and Tribulations. And we could easily subtitle these particular verses as the testing of faith. The believers Yaakov was addressing were facing trials of many kinds. These trials were not severe persecutions, and certainly not illnesses, for which different words would have been used, but rather low-level persecutions such as social rejection and economic boycotts. This was happening simply because they were believers in Messiah. Yaakov calls the believers to rejoice, certainly not because the pain is pleasant, but because they should have a perspective which looks beyond this present life to eternal rewards. The pure joy is not a present happiness, but a joy in anticipation of a future in and with Messiah. In order to more fully understand what Yaakov is telling us in verse 2, I want us to do a word study of some of the words in this verse. To get us into context, I want to read these three verses once again. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The first word that I want us to look at is the word various, as we read, when you encounter various trials. Now, if you're using the King James Version of the Bible, this word is translated as divers. The original word used here is poikilos, and when used with the word trials, it indicates that these various trials come from an unknown or from different sources. The Messianic believers that Yaakov was addressing were facing trials of many kinds. The word for trials is doikim oyen, forgive my Greek pronunciation, and it is defined as a testing, with the implication that it is to prove genuineness or faithfulness, or things that put a person to the test, or the proving. Yaakov knew that his brothers and sisters in the faith were having many troubles. They were tempted and persecuted, but he urges them to welcome their trials joyfully as tests which will strengthen them. If they treated these attacks as spiritual exercises, they would grow strong and become fully fit in their faith. The same applies to us today. Yaakov continues and explains that trials are reasons for rejoicing because of a wholesome effect they will produce. These trials may be difficulties that come from without, such as persecution, or they may be inner moral tests, such as temptations to sin. However, Yaakov uses the word in the sense of coming from without in these particular verses. We'll see that he again uses this word later in our study, but in the latter sense of tests that are coming from within. These outward trials or testings, rather than being a reason for unhappiness, can be the grounds for pure joy, as mentioned earlier in this verse. The expression used here, considered all joy, speaks of full and complete joy. It is not merely the coming of a single trial that is described. Yaakov is speaking of the experience of trials of many kinds. The word encounter is saying to us that when we fall into the midst of people, objects, or circumstances that might cause us distress, these are the type of trials that we experience from without or from outside of ourselves, those that come against or upon us. This was happening simply because they were believers in Messiah. Now, again, this isn't the jumping up and down and shouting kind of joy. The reason that trials are to be considered grounds for joy is that they are capable of developing perseverance. These trials or testings were putting their newly found faith to the test, and this experience would produce the desired results. It's the same for believers in Messiah today. The question answered by the testing of their faith and our faith is whether or not faith will indeed prevail. If we have genuine faith, testing serves to develop its persistence. The word translated as endurance in the New American Standard Bible and as patience in the King James Bible in the original language holds much more of an active and forceful word. The word is hypomonem, and it speaks of tenacity and stick-to-itiveness, if there's such a word. Barclay explains that it is not the patience of the enduring that passively endures. Instead, it's the quality that enables a man or woman to stand on his feet facing the storm. It is in this struggle against the difficulties and opposition that spiritual stamina is developed. But Yaakov urges them and us today to welcome these trials that come into our lives joyfully, as these tests will strengthen us. Again, if believers treat these attacks as spiritual exercises, they will grow and become fully fit in their faith. Perseverance, patience, or endurance is vital and is an important virtue in the believer's life and is mentioned often by Yeshua himself. I want us to review some of these passages. In Luke chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, we read, "But the seed in the good soil, These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with their perseverance. In Luke 21:9, Yeshua says, "By your endurance you will gain your lives." In Matthew, or Matthew, chapter 10, verse 22, we read, "You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." We also see that Rabbi Shaul spoke of the same thing. In Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, we read, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." In Romans 8:25, we see, "But if we hope for what we do not see, the perseverance we wait eagerly for." Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "But in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses." Our final passage is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. "The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles." We also discovered that the first time that testing was mentioned was in regards to the person that we identify as our father in the faith, Abraham. I want to read this. It's found in Genesis, or Bereshit, chapter 22, verse 1. "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he answered, 'Here I am.'" If we read further, we can find that Jehovah indeed rewarded Abraham's faithfulness. Furthermore, we find that Job was also tested, but this time by Hasatan, or Satan. And in the stories about Job circulating in the first century Judaism, he was the supreme example of perseverance. Surely the believers that Yaakov was addressing could expect a similar reward. Yaakov calls the believers to rejoice because they should have a perspective which looks beyond the present life to the eternal reward. The pure joy is not a present happiness, but joy in the anticipation of a future with God. It is the perfection of the believer's character in his children. Trials can produce patience, as we just read in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 5. He wants his children to be mature, or perfect, and maturity is developed only in the laboratory of life. Trials can produce patience, which means endurance, and endurance in turn leads a believer into deeper maturity in Messiah. Jehovah put young Yosef, or Joseph, through 13 years of testing, that he might make a ruler out of him. Kepha, or Peter, spent 3 years in the school of testing to be changed from sand to a rock. And Shaul went through many testings, and each one helped to mature his character. Of course, it takes faith on the part of the believer to trust Jehovah during these testings, but knowing that he has a divine purpose in mind helps us to yield to him. There are three reasons for the understanding that this word is referring to maturing in the faith. First of all, the word does not indicate that believers reach perfection in this life. And when used in the original grammatical structure, it indicates that it is referring to the completeness of our lives. The statement that perseverance or endurance has perfect results, or must finish its work, indicates progress and development. the result of which may be described as maturity. Thus, perseverance or endurance is facing trials, and these trials develop maturity of character and a balance of all the graces and strengths needed for the believer's life. Perseverance, patience, or endurance itself, however, has an effect. It's like holding a fine steel sword blade in the fire until it's thoroughly tempered. In this case, the sword is the believer. The fire is testing, and the tempering is that the believer becomes mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance has a work to do, and this can be accomplished only by being persistent in the midst of our trials. If perseverance is to finish its work, as seen in Yaakov chapter 1, verse 4, let me read that, "And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." The Greek term for mature is often translated as perfect or blameless. This is the virtue that Noah or Noah exhibited in Bereshit or Genesis chapter 6 verse 9. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. This is what Yeshua intends when he calls his followers to be perfect, as we read in Mattiyahu, or Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48. "Therefore you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." This indicates that we, as believers, are to have or to develop a character like Jehovah's. This type of maturity is produced by holding fast to the faith and the believer's values and virtues while in the fire of persecution. The impurities in one's character will be burned off. The end result will not be just maturity, but a completeness, which means that not a single part of a Jehovah-like character will be lacking. If this is the end result of the believer's trials, difficult as they may be, there is indeed something to rejoice about. The structure of these verses is that of a chain saying, like A produces B, which produces C, and so on and so on. Let's read our key verses for this session again so that we can pay attention and see this. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Did you hear the progression, or the if and then, action and response, or action and results that we have encountered in our previous studies? When you encounter various trials, note that it was when and not if. Believers will encounter trials. Knowing that the trials or testings of your faith produces endurance. The implication here is that if we pass the testing or are proven faithful, then the testing has produced endurance, patience, or maturity in us. And if we have developed endurance, it has a perfect or mature result in us. This maturity or endurance then leads us to become more like Messiah, who is perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. But as believers, we must not become impatient. This is the thrust of verse 4. When Yaakov urged his readers to allow endurance or patience to have its perfect work, he means that they and we should allow the Lord to accomplish a complete work of endurance within us. Of course, by perfect, he does not mean sinless perfection. Both Greek words, perfect and complete, mean much the same thing, but they might be rendered this way, that you may be complete and intact with no deficiency. If we were to title these short three verses, we might do it this way. Trials, positive, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And as seen from God's perspective, the purpose was identified in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And the purpose is to purify and strengthen us. The products that we see were in verse 4 are the perseverance and maturity that our trials do indeed bring about. Although this epistle or letter was written probably before 70 AD, it is very applicable to believers today. If I were to ask you, have you or are you currently going through any trials? There is no doubt in my mind that any of us would answer yes. If we aren't currently undergoing some sort of trial, hold on, because we know as believers that in all probability, there's one on its way. It seems that just as we attain a higher level of maturity, there's another trial on the horizon. God does not necessarily send these into our lives, but just as Jehovah allowed HaSatan to test Job's faith, we today also will have our faith tested. Jehovah does not tempt us to sin, but he does test us for our growth and maturity. It's all about how we respond. It's our choice to fall into sin or to stand in faith and persevere into maturity. The next set of verses that I want to introduce are again in Yaakov, chapter 1. This time, I want us to concentrate on verses 5 through 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But what is a person supposed to do if they're not mature and complete? What if you fear failing the test? Rabbi Shaul's answer would have been that they should live or be led by the Spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh. We find this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. I'm going to read this out of the Complete Jewish Bible. What I am saying is this: run your lives by the Spirit. Then you will not do what your old nature wants. For the old nature wants what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit wants what is contrary to the old nature. These oppose each other, so that you find yourselves unable to carry out your good intentions. But if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not in subjection to the system that results from perverting the Torah into legalism. Yaakov's answer to this question is for them to ask Jehovah for wisdom, because divine wisdom is the answer and the power which Yaakov believes counteracts evil in human life. And such a prayer would not be useless, for Jehovah is a generous giver, nor is his generosity hemmed in by a critical spirit. He does not say to us, "What? You again? What did you do with what I gave you last time?" Far from having that attitude, God simply gives to all who asks, time after time. Join us next time as we continue to learn from the Epistle of Yaakov how we are to walk out our faith. Thank you for joining us today as we delve into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website. It's secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.